We'll be able to finish the Masechta, which is a wonderful thing. We'll make the official Siyum on Shabbos Shalosh Shudis. So we're up to the 10th Mishnah of the 5th and final chapter of Avodah Zarah. Yain Esach Shenafel Labor Kulo Aser Be'Hanoah. Rabbi Shimon Maliel Omer Yimacher Kulo Lenachri Chutz Midmei Yain Esach Shabos. So really it depends what kind of Yain Esach we're talking about. When we're talking about Yain, which is actually Nisnasech, which is used as libations for Avodah Zarah, then we know Min B'mino Oser B'chol Shehu, in this case, even according to the Chachamim, we paskin that Yain Esach, because of the Chumra of Avodah Zarah, renders an entire mixture of wine impermissible. If you're just talking about Stam Yenam, just the wine of a non-Jew, whereas in Isra D'Rabbana, it wasn't actually used for Avodah Zarah, so then we paskin, like Rabbi Shimon Liel suggests, that let's say it falls into a vat of wine, you're allowed to sell the entire vat, with the exception of the amount of Stam Yenam, which is mixed in. Gatch 11, this is the 11th Mishnah, Shazif Sagoy. So let's say you had a wine press which was made of stone. Stone doesn't generally absorb, which was rubbed with grape product or wine product by a goy. Meaning, let's say the wine was pressed there and there was a concern for some absorption. So all you have to do is just clean it off. Menagva vihi tahora. We're not concerned about any absorption. Shal Eitz, let's say it's made of wood, which is porous. Rabbi Omer Yenagev. Rabbi says you could be lenient and just wipe it off. Chamim Omerim Yiklo Fes Hazefes, that you have to peel off the outer layer of the wood. Vishal Chares, that's always going to be a problem. When it's earthenware, we say that Kli Chares Mivla Bali, that always absorbs. Afal Pi Shekala Fes Hazefes Harezo Asura, that it absorbs and it's not polate. So at that stage, the wine press would be unusable. The next Mishnah is where we have all of the halachos of Hechsher Kalim from. The Mishnah says the following, Hokeach Klei Tashmish Min Hagoy. So let's say somebody purchases any kind of a utensil that's going to be used either in food preparation or in service of food from a non-Jewish source. So the halacha is that it needs to go to the mikvah, there needs to be Tfilas Kalim, and it has to be Mayim Shanida Ola Bahen, it has to be 40 Sa'ah. So that's the din of Tahara. But let's say it had been used before, so it's actually two issues. One of them is the Tfilas Kalim, which always has to take place. The other one is the actual process of kashering. So, Eshadarko Lahatbil Yadbil. So let's say it's only used for cold products, so then all you have to do is wash it off. Nothing else to do. Lahagil, if it was used for boiling, Yagil. So then we boil it out. Right? This is the principle of Kibolo Kachpolto. The method of absorption is also the method of kashering. Lulabin ba'or, yulabin ba'or, means to make the sparks fly. If it was used in a direct fire, so then it would have to be put through the fire. Hashvod v'avaskala, let's say a spit that you would use for some kind of a meat, whatever it is. Askala, similarly, like for shishkaba, milablin ba'or, those have to be put through fire. Hasakin, but a knife, shafa v'hi tahora. So you could put it 10 times, be minoetz bakarka. Sometimes people don't realize, like they saw their bubbies do this, and they realize the actual halacha, that if a knife, there was a problem with the kashering, they'll stick it 10 times into a potted plant and leave it there. That's actually what the Mishnah says. That's based on the principle of duchka de sakina, that if you press it out, so that should be okay. Another way to do it is to take the knife sharpener and to sharpen the knife. That's an acceptable method as well. So in practice, when it comes to Hechsher Kalim, sometimes you have something which is used in a multiple situations. So let's say a frying pan, which sometimes is used with oil. So and then those principles, you have to follow Rov Tashmisho. How is this used most of the time in terms of determining whether something is going to get Hagala or maybe Libun Kal? Another point to be aware of in terms of the practical side of this is, there's a difference between what we call Libun Kal, which is enough to make it. If you touch a straw to something, it would burst out in flames. That's Libun Akal and Libun Gamor. Libun Gamor means to actually flame something out, right? With hot coals or with a blowtorch or something like that. So let's say you have like a pizza oven. Okay, if a pizza oven, something which is trafe gets into a pizza oven, so that's the kind of thing where it's 1,000 degrees or whatever it is. Pizza oven is very, very hot. Okay, so that requires a Libun Gamor. Many of the commercial ovens that are available today will, let's say, have a maximum temperature 450, 500, something like that. So typically, especially with the modern commercially available ovens, a self-cleaning cycle is going to do the trick. The Rav felt, there are different traditions about this, the Rav and Rav Moshe had different opinions about this, but the Rav felt that Kibol Kach Poto meant that whatever the maximum temperature could go to is what you could put it on for purposes of kashering the oven. Rav Moshe wasn't so sure about that, but that's something that can be relied upon, especially if it's not an issue of chametz on Pesach. So God willing, I will have the opportunity to make the siyum. Like I said, Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos.